Turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Looking down to verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put him in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Verse 49, David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now turn over, please, to this time 1 Kings, chapter 17. 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. They bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Now the Lord will bless his word to our hearts with what we have already heard. Our minds already have been turned to looking in, and looking in to the scriptures, to the word of God. And I just want to make a simple application this afternoon from these 3 scriptures that we have read. And the uniting factor in them all is that in each case, there is the thought of the brook. We find in 1 Samuel 17 that David found at the brook. And then we discover how Elijah was fed at the brook. And that brings us to Numbers, where we see the truth of fruit at the brook. And I'm thinking very simply of the brook and the illustration and the picture of the Word of God, the book. Because it's in here that we find, and it's certainly in here that we are fed, and no doubt about it, it's through this working in us that there is fruit to the glory of God. You know the story so well in relation to David and Goliath. I'm sure many of us learnt it in Sunday school. I know I did. And the occasion when David went down with some provision from his father for his older brothers, and the things that he said. And the things that he said were quite outspoken, weren't they? And some of them thought that they were a bit outspoken altogether. In fact, his older brother thought that he had just come down to see the battle. But David hadn't come to see the battle. He wasn't a spectator. He was going to be in there. Now, of course, his older brother described him as being proud, and he says, I know the naughtiness of thine heart. But you know, there is one thing that Eliab was wrong in, and it's one thing that sometimes so many of us are wrong in, we can never judge a man's motives. He was judging David's motives. He says, you know, he's just a naughty chap. He's just filled with pride. And he's trying to make a name for himself. And he's trying to be really something that he's not at all. But he was wrong. You see, the great truth, isn't it, that it's only the Lord can judge the motives of the heart. And if the motives are pure and streaming from the heart of God, then there shall be blessing that will flow. So David, then the next case, very quickly, you remember how he tried Saul's armor on. Of course, the armor was too big for him. He was just absolutely swamped with it, wasn't he? I remember when I was a little boy, I'm sure little boys still do it, they try on their father's jacket. And you know, it was just like that, you know. When he tried it on, it just was coming down to his ankles, and it was just too much for him. And he laid it aside, and what did he do? Well, he went down to the brook. Wonderful story, isn't it? Can you picture David as he moves down to the brook? And the Bible says that how he chose those 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Now we feel that there was 5 that he took because Goliath had 4 sons. And David, with this stone in his hand and with a sling, how he went out to meet the great Goliath. Goliath, who had appeared 40 days in succession, morning and evening, and had frightened the wits out of everybody. They were absolutely petrified of this Goliath. And Israel was in disarray, and everything was upside down, and there was nothing but darkness and difficulty. But there is a shepherd boy from the Judean hills, and he's down there, and he has proved God before. Now that's the big one. This wasn't a one-off. He had proved God before. There had been the lion and the bear, and the experience of knowing God in those circumstances. And the God who was with him then, he was undoubtedly sure of this, that the same God was with him this day. Oh, isn't that it? And you can see David. Well, there's the sling, there's the 5 stones, there's the staff to comfort, the 5 stones to conquer, the sling to convey. The staff, oh, David writes about that, doesn't he, in Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The staff was something that was used by the shepherd to bring the sheep out of difficulties at times. You know, sheep, they get into difficulties, and maybe in a place where David couldn't just get at them, you know, and he got the staff out, and he pulled them over, and he got them out of the difficulty. It was used for rescuing. And it was also used for guiding the sheep. Well, isn't that the shepherd that we have got? How often he rescues us from difficulties and how he guides along the way. So there was the staff, there was the 5 stones that he took to conquer, and there was the sling that he took to convey the stone. Now I want you to think just a moment about the stone. There's 3 very simple things about the stone that David took and that David used. First of all, the stone was different. It was a smooth stone. Well, you know, he just didn't pick up the first stones that came to hand. He searched, didn't he? There was a bit of effort in it. He was looking for the right thing. He was looking a little bit deeper than what was on the surface. Why, isn't this the brook? Isn't this the Word of God? Isn't it always good in one's Christian experience that the more they move on, that they will, as it were, go a little deeper? Because, you know, you can always go a little deeper. There are so many things that are on the surface that are good and important, no doubt. But, oh, to spend a little bit more time and to put a little bit more effort and to search a little more, because the vastness and the greatness of what is in this book. I have no doubt about it that if the Word of God was coming to us with freshness, and with power. So often it would change our prayer meeting. So often it would have an effect on our worship meetings. You know, when something of the Word of God grips you, I'm sure you've had the experience, when something of this book grips you, you know, and it lives with you for days and days, well, we need to always remember that if it doesn't grip me, it'll not grip anybody else. If it doesn't really reach me, it'll not reach anybody else. David went to the brook, and he chose those five smooth stones. The stone was different. It was a smooth stone. The stone was directed. Can you see him? There he is, just a lad, and he goes down into the valley to meet the giant, and he takes the stone and he puts it in the sling. And the Bible says that he slung. Now, it just wasn't somehow, well, if it hits him, it does or it doesn't. I'll just have a go. He wasn't thinking like that, you know. It was something that was directed. He slung it. Isn't it surely the Word of God in the Spirit of God that still works? The stone was different, the stone was directed, and the stone was destructive. It says that Goliath fell on his face to the earth. The Word of God in the Spirit of God still brings down the giants of this age. There is no substitute for this book. There is nothing else you can put in its place. It surely is the meat, the sustenance, the inspiration. It comes from the pages, from the Word of God. I was thinking of an illustration in the New Testament when Paul was writing to the assembly at Thessalonica. And he reminds them just how the message came. He says, how our gospel came unto you, not in word only, but also in power, and much assurance, and in the Holy Ghost. That's very interesting, isn't it? It wasn't the power of persuasion, that won them. It wasn't the wisdom of man's words that won them. And Paul could have used either of those things. Because I'll tell you, when it came to wisdom, he had it. In the natural, everyday level of things. It wasn't the power of persuasion that persuaded them, nor the wisdom of words that won them. But it was the power, it was the word in the power of the Holy Spirit that wrought conviction. And brought conversion. One of the greatest dangers is the power of earth. Isn't that right? It's the danger in the world at large. It's a danger anyway. It was when Hitler discovered he had the great power of oratory that brought him from obscurity into a mighty position. Wasn't it Churchill who described oratory as being a terrible evil, used in some terrible way? It is not the power of oratory, nor the wisdom of man's words. It is the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit that still works, that did work, and that will work. David found at the root. Elijah was fed at the brook. Why, what about Elijah? Well, you know, the Lord told them to go to the brook Cherith. Hide thyself there. This brook, for Elijah, we discover that it was a place of shelter. Hide thyself. I was thinking, you know, of the scriptures, of the Word of God, just a simple illustration in relation to the brook as being the book. And oh, the shelter and the security in the promises of God that come to our souls again and again. The promises that run from Genesis to Revelation, the words of assurance, the words of comfort, the words of encouragement that come to our souls again and again. It was a place of shelter. Hide thyself. It was not only that, but very briefly, it was a place of supply. Drink of the brook. Oh, the supply, the sufficiency of the Word of God. We have already heard about looking in and the thought of the fullness to meet every need. Paul, doesn't he write to the Colossians and he speaks, ye are complete in Him, the completeness that is in Christ. We have everything in Christ. A great thought, isn't it, you know, that the moment you found Christ as your Savior, when you found Him, there was enough in Christ that night for the journey, for the rest of the path. Our brother was saying, you say 52 years. And I thought that quite amazing, because that was 20 years before I was born. That doesn't make you old, dear brother. It makes me very young. I was saved 21 years ago past. And just like many more in a similar experience, you know, the night that one got saved, I often say, I didn't really know what I was in for. Oh, the vastness of this. Oh, the supply. Oh, the overflow. And he said to Elijah, to drink of the brook, there is supply. There is the great freshness from the Word of God. You see, it's something that you have to work at, you know. It doesn't come easy, and it never does. I remember, you know, when I wasn't too long saved, I was about 15 at the time, and I had a good interest, thank the Lord for that, because He gave me it. And I know this, if the Lord doesn't give it, I couldn't give it to you. And if you haven't got a deep interest in the spiritual and eternal things that the Lord may deepen it, even today. It's only the Lord can do that. And I remember, you know, about 15 at the time, I ordered these books of Spurgeon's sermons. Well, that was something, you know. And I thought, I heard a lot about Spurgeon, and I reckoned that if I could have a few of Spurgeon's sermons, I could go places. And I remember, you know, ordering them in the little bookshop, and I used to pester the fellow to see if they were in yet. And finally, the books had arrived, and I went in the old bicycle, you know, and I got them on the back of the bicycle, and there's these beautiful yellow volumes. I still have them. They're in mint condition. And I remember coming out the road, and these on the back of the bicycle, and I thought to myself, my, this is great. You know, I not only had Spurgeon's sermons on the back of the bicycle, but to tell you the truth, I thought it was Spurgeon. But you know what I discovered when I got home? Well, you know, I opened those great big volumes and that fine writing, and I had difficulty getting through a page. Do you know what I discovered? I discovered this, that there's no shortcuts. And Spurgeon's sermons would never make me a preacher. Nor anybody else. There must be something between your soul and my soul and God. Hide thyself. It was a place. It was a place of shelter. It was a place of supply. It was a place of service. It says, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Well, isn't it amazing just what the Lord uses? Like, if it had been you or me, we just mightn't have sent a raven. We might have sent a big eagle or something. Some big beautiful bird. But a raven. An unclean bird. Not too inviting or enhancing to look at. But he says, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Isn't it amazing what the Lord uses? And you come to the New Testament, you remember how the Lord Jesus said to consider the ravens. They sow not, neither do they reap. What the Lord uses. And he was going to use the ravens and bread and flesh. Now, that was the very thing, you know, that the raven was very fond of, wasn't it? The flesh. Well, that's just what the raven lived on. Flesh. But the Lord was able to change the desires of the raven to fulfill his desires. He was able to turn it all around, you see, and he used the raven to feed it. Oh, thank God, this afternoon, that he deigns to use it. My, sometimes I think it's not the best material that he's got to work. The failures and the misgivings. But isn't it a great thought that in his mercy and in his grace, he will bless us again and again. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. It's a place of service, but it was a place that was specified there. There. And really and truly, there is no answer to spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. God says it's there. And only there. And there's nothing else that can take its place, or there's nothing else can fill in, or there's nothing else can do what this does. And sometimes, maybe, believers don't always find that out soon enough. But I'll tell you this. When you get before God, is the answer. Used to sing at Sunday school, I have a wonderful treasure. Don't know if you sing it here or not. Gift of God without me. We will travel together. My Bible and I. Oh, that it might get into our souls. That it might burn into our being. That the Lord has said, I will feed thee there. Here it is. David found at the brook. Elijah fed at the brook, and very simply, the spies, there was fruit at the brook. Well, what an experience that they had been sent, you remember? And they came to the brook of Eshcol, and they cut down the branch, and oh, the cluster was so great that they bore it on that staff. How much fruit there was. It was overflowing. It was abundant. My mind was turned to John chapter 15. And in those verses, first verses of that chapter, we have brought before us the reality of fruit. The Lord Jesus speaks about the vine and the branches. And surely isn't it that it's as the Word of God abides in us, as it works out in our life, that we'll be abiding in Him. They both go together, don't you? You cannot separate. It's the Word of God abiding in us that brings us into the experience of abiding in Christ, the communion. We're not talking about the union, but the communion, the fellowship with Him. They're both related. He talks about every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. I was looking into that recently. Some tell us, you know, that the thought taketh away has a different type of a meaning. It's the sense that he raised. He raised. The thought of the branch groveling on the ground, and the weeds are cluttered over it, and it's in the darkness, and it's not bearing any fruit, you see, but he raises it up. He raised it up out of the briars and out of the weeds, and the light can get at it. Isn't there a lot this afternoon? I'm sure there's a lot here. Just as there's a lot at home. And they're in the briars. And the weeds of this age have cluttered over. and they've lost the vision. And they've lost the zeal. But thank God, He can raise them up. Thank God, He can restore. And He can bring them up. That the light of His countenance may beam upon them. And fruit can come. The thought of a barren branch. And then the thought of a bearing branch. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. A barren branch, then a bearing branch. He purges, or He cleanses, prunes it, you know. He takes away the things that are just not necessary. And sometimes that can be painful. And sometimes that can be a difficult experience. And yet, surely the Word of God would tell us again and again that it's always for our good and for His glory. Now, I speak to you today as much younger than many, and I haven't the experience of a lot of these things. But what little bit I have, and you know a lot more than I do out there, many of you, the experience of the pruning and the difficulties and the adversities that can come. And sometimes life can be a very cruel place. Yet, it's for your good. And it's always for His glory. The more fruit. But very quickly and briefly, verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Here's the thought of a blighted branch. Tragedy, isn't it? Some dear believers have gone astray on these verses, haven't they? And think that they refer and speak of the thought of the falling away doctrine and of being saved and lost again. But it's not here. If you look at it, you'll discover that it's men that gather them. That's different. It's not God. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is speaking of someone who has fallen into some terrible sin and has just lost their testimony completely. And in the eyes of the world, they just mean nothing anymore. Men gather them up and throw them into the fire. Say, that's it. I have no time for that type of Christianity. It's not the soul here that's involved, but it's the life, it's the testimony. Men gather them. Isn't that like Lot? Do you remember down in Sodom? Do you remember what he was saying? It was the truth, you know. But his life didn't back it up. And he seemed as one that mocked. And men just gathered, thrown into the fire, worthless and useless. Ah, but let's close on a better note. And that surely is verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. A barren branch, a bearing branch, a blighted branch, or a bountiful branch, ye shall bear much fruit. Oh, this afternoon, that our souls may be given fresh desires for the Lord Jesus, that this book may become more precious to us, that we may find more and more, that we may be fed more and more, and that there might be fruit in our lives more and more, as the Word of God lives and abides in our soul. Sometimes we sing, and how beautiful are the words, teach me on thee to fix mine eye, for none but thee can satisfy. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank thee this afternoon for thy goodness to us. We thank thee for the grace that has us here. For that grace that has kept us from that occasion when we were brought into union with Christ, right until this day. And O Lord, we would ask Thee this evening with freshness and with trust reality in our souls, that we might be drawn nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side, that our hearts and our lives may be taken up with Christ, and that the Word of God, that we might look into it again and again, that it might become the man of our counsel. O Lord, do bless Thy Word to us this afternoon. The thoughts that we have had, the glorious thought of that look ahead. Oh, we thank Thee for the rest that there is for the people of God. We thank Thee for the glory that someday shall dawn, and oh, the face that someday we shall see when it beams upon our ransomed soul, and we shall be forever in the glory at home with us, at home with the Lord. Help us then to live as those who belong to another land, as those who belong to heaven, in Thy precious name. Amen.